This is Jake Joplin with the Entrepreneurial Mindset Podcast, where I interview industry leaders to show how an entrepreneurial mindset is a critical aspect of success in most endeavors. Today, I'm interviewing Stephanie Guerra. In 2010, Stephanie founded Pura Pinche, an online event platform to inform people about events happening in and around San Antonio. Pura Pinche has over 55,000 followers and was recently named San Antonio's best local blog in the SA Current Awards. Pura Pinche also won Reader's Choice for Best Blogger in San Antonio Magazine. Stephanie is an expert in the social media space and offers event planning and production, influencer marketing, branded entertainment, guerrilla marketing, and other social media marketing services. How's it going today, Stephanie?
I am great. Happy Sunday. Can I say it's Sunday?
Yeah, of course.
It's good. You can. It's nice to have a day off, you know, catching everybody up from the New Year's Eve celebrations and things like that. It's been a nice weekend to recover.
Well, thank you for taking some time off on Sunday, right after New Year's, to talk on the podcast. Excited to learn more about Pura Pinche. So can you talk a bit about your background and how you got so interested in online blogging and event planning in order to start Pura Pinche?
Yes. So I started Pura Pinche officially almost 8 years ago. I started it because I, you know, had noticed a lot of friends were saying that there was not much to do in San Antonio, that you had to go to Austin, that San Antonio was lame, and, you know, it was just kind of encouraged me to tell everybody, like, you know, there's a lot going on in San Antonio. Maybe you just don't know how to find it. So I had kind of been in, I'm not a musician, but had been very interested in the music and arts world. Started just, you know, I've always been like an early adopter of social media and newer tech trends and things like that. So started Pura Pinche on Tumblr, learned how to blog, reblog, do those things, and then moved, you know, throughout the years to each new social platform that's come up. And really, I've just always been a big music lover, so I loved attending concerts and I loved attending art openings and things like that. And I really wanted to help showcase all that was good here in my hometown of San Antonio. So I never went to school for journalism, but that was always kind of where my passion lied. You know, I took photography, took multimedia and graphic design in college, learned how to, you know, write from PR internships and news internships and street teamed for record labels and things like that. So I kind of put all of it together and launched Pura Pinche to start showcasing the events that were happening in San Antonio.
So you mentioned that you had a background in school in multimedia and graphic design. Was it much of a challenge for you to do things on the computer with internet marketing and just understanding the technology of marketing these events online?
You know, 8 years ago, the world was a different place online. So social media was new and not as well explored, and also there weren't a lot of tools for marketing and for advertising and things like that yet on social media. So it was just like an everyday learning experience. You know, I learned through the PR internships, you know, to always keep up with advertising and marketing agencies online and read their websites and their blogs and see how to do things. I can honestly tell you, I probably got a lot more experience through real life situations like the internships and just reading on my own than maybe I did at school. Because social media and that type of marketing, you know, that wasn't your typical kind of statistics and analytics of advertising and marketing. It was completely different. So I don't feel like when I was in college, there were a lot of people that knew how to teach that. Now, I had an intern last year who was in the UTSA's marketing and like public relations program, and they've definitely got it down now. now. So being able to teach students how to market on social media and advertising and influencers and all that stuff is commonplace. But when I was learning, I really just had to read and search online as much as possible. And if not, just try to do it myself and figure it out. So there's just always a learning curve with this, you know, even now, every day. And especially since your social media is just ongoing, you know, 24 hours on, you really have to just be alert to what the newest thing is. It's fun. It's time consuming. When I first started Puro Pincho, I thought it was just for fun and just my passion and things like that. And then seeing when it got to be big enough to actually grow it into a business was where I really started to take note of how maybe other people were doing it in this space. I really didn't see anybody else doing it in San Antonio too much. So I had to look outwards towards other cities and, you know, bloggers or advertising agencies that I admired, a lot of entertainment agencies and things like that, and see how they did things.
So let's talk a little bit more about how your business evolved. You mentioned that you looked at other advertisers online in other cities, and you learned a lot kind of just on the fly. There was no academic program for you starting out to help you learn all of this. So how did you start Puro Pincho, and how has the business evolved over the last few years?
Yeah, so when I started actually turning it into a business, so it was okay, I've grown my followers on across my social media network, so you know the thousands of people started to take notice and say, hey, you know, like Puro Pincho is posting about what's going on in San Antonio, you know, like it's a funny saying, but people are like, Puro Pincho has her finger on the pulse of, you know, what's going on in San Antonio and follow her. And so then I was like, okay, well, now I notice I'm putting these events and brands in front of my network that I've built up. And I built that mostly, you know, just from actually meeting people in person. It was very organic, going out to events and introducing myself to people and socializing with people and telling them exactly, you know, hey, I do this online. You can follow me on social media. Check out my event calendar on my website. You know, send me your events. You know, it picked up from there and then turned it around into, okay, now I have this network built. Now all of these events and promotions and things that I've been doing at no cost, you know, maybe people want to pay to advertise their event or their brand to my network. And so I started doing that. Started doing social media advertising and staying true to my brand, staying true to the Puro part of it, you know, local and authentic companies, events. I tried to stay away from anything that was, you know, mainstream, because there's plenty of coverage and ads and things like that elsewhere. You know, I love Fiesta and the Spurs, but that's covered everywhere you look. So I really wanted to help, you know, the small business owners in San Antonio and local people that were doing things that may not have the type of advertising dollars that bigger companies had. So I started advertising events and local companies to my network, and people really started to take off and like that. And then from there, I learned, you know, to establish better relationships and then actually work with people to consult on their events and also help them produce their events. So what started as just an event list, a show list, you know, evolved into my own production company and social media marketing company. I'm still working on it. It's still growing. You know, I'm still figuring out where I can go next. But in 2013, I helped organize a Maverick Music Festival. I organized some other festivals on my own with like local beer distributors. And I even worked for a marketing agency out of New York that did all the branding and entertainment for Dos Equis, and helped them, you know, with the pilot program to launch in San Antonio and a couple other cities, and really learned a lot of how that went. I also did street teaming for Island and Def Jam Records, so I kind of saw on a more national level, you know, how to organically grow and do guerrilla marketing through them. So that's helped me promote and produce events here locally. And then once like the term influencer became a thing, then it was okay. Now brands and other companies are paying me to influence my network with things that I like or I actually use or fit in line. So that's another big part of it too, has been the influencer marketing and learning how to deal with that. You know, I feel like I've been doing it for years, but now marketing agencies have a term for it. So now there's influencers and now you can actually get paid to, you know, do the things that you do and shop the brands or buy the things that you do and put them in front of your network and actually make a difference with that. So it's kind of, it's grown into a lot of things. And at the core of it, I think it's all just connecting people. So yeah, connecting people to something real, something, you know, good that they either want to consume or to attend, you know, things like that.
Yeah. So you became an influencer fast, it sounds like, through advertising, through your social media networks. Can you talk a little bit more about the specific social media networks that you used and which ones you used the most and which ones you were the most successful with using before you started building a website and advertising?
Yes. So obviously Tumblr, I don't even know if people still use Tumblr.
Yeah. Can you explain what that is for listeners? Can you explain what Tumblr is?
So yeah, Tumblr was a blogging platform. So on Tumblr, you could have a profile and then people would use it to share. Actually it was like micro blogging. So you weren't writing like full on articles, you know, or things like that, but you were writing little blurbs or you were posting photos. And it was very popular back in like 2007, 2008, and people could follow you and then they could reblog you so they could share that to their network and in turn, you know, just keep the cycle going. So I started on Tumblr, and, you know, it was crazy to me. You know, I just used it for my personal posts and musings, you know, for a little while. And then once I started posting San Antonio shows and parties and things like that, people started to reblog. And I remember I started to get hundreds of reblogs and I was like, wow. Okay. Like people in San Antonio really, like there's this niche, you know, like there's a gap that's missing with local coverage, you know, mainstream media and things like that. And they really want to know where these things are and they want to help their friends out and stuff like that. So it started to really take off on Tumblr. And at the time I just, you know, people were getting away from websites and going to social media. So as soon as Facebook launched and took off and I got on Facebook, started it on my personal profile because there wasn't an option to have a business page. But as soon as they started pages, you know, I jumped over there. And I used my website a lot and Tumblr kind of died down. So I got away from Tumblr, jumped on Twitter. And I would say, I think I actually just got a notice that I've been on Twitter for 10 years. So it's kind of weird to believe that 10 years has gone by of the social media network because I still feel like it's, you know, new and adapting. But that's just, you know, people that are in their early 20s and stuff, that's all they've known.
Right.
And it's Twitter really took off. So there used to be a group in San Antonio called Bumper. It was business, media, and public relations. And we would get together once a month and have like a lunch and learn from each other. But it was really fun. It was a really good way to connect with people. And everybody was on Twitter. So it was local journalists, local PR professionals, people that were small business owners or entrepreneurs or chefs, you know, all kinds of people. And we really started helping grow our Twitter presence. And Twitter really took off. So, I mean, Twitter right now is probably the network where I have the most followers. Okay. It's weird because you can't disseminate as much information there, you know. I mean, well, now that you have 2 million characters to type, there's a lot more that you can say, but for a long time you couldn't. So I've got almost 25,000 followers on Twitter.
Wow.
And it's just still really easy for me to use. It's easy for me to connect with people. I've tweeted like celebrities and bigger known journalists and things like that, and they've answered. And, you know, it's really crazy that you can just reach out and talk to somebody and be heard and be seen on Twitter. So Twitter is still a good platform to talk to people, to connect with people, or to share, you know, a quick snippet of your voice or what's going on. So there's a lot of content on there, but it always links back to something. So it always links back to my website or to like a Facebook event, things like that, or an article. It's just, you know, still meant to give you a quick overview of what you're actually talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds pretty powerful, the way that you've connected with people on social media through Twitter, Bumper, Tumblr, Facebook, creating that one page, and then how it morphed into working with all these great events such as Maverick Music, Dos Equis, Def Jam. Can you talk a little bit more specifically about one of those events that you marketed on Pure Pinche and how it helped attract more people to attend an event?
Yes. I mean, for sure, Maverick, you know, was a first year festival. The people that I worked on it with had been from San Antonio, but hadn't lived here in a while, but worked in like music industries and things like that. And so they didn't really have too much of an on the ground marketing, you know, feel. So they brought me in to help out with that. And we really didn't do any paid advertising for the first year festival. We marketed a ton through Puro Pinche and through people that I knew in local media or in the music industry and things like that. Gary Clark Jr. was a part of the first year festival, so he had a really big buzz at the time. And, you know, I put out a press release that had his name attached to it. So it got picked up by Rolling Stone and Spin and things like that. So it kind of culminated, you know, all of my previous work knowledge and experience with working with, you know, local to national promotions and music industries into Maverick. And so we ended up selling out Maverick a week in advance of the festival, which is unheard of for festivals in their first year. I mean, it was at La Vita, so it's not like we had room for 100,000 people. Uh-huh. But we did sell over 3,000 tickets to that first festival. And we did mostly all that through social media marketing. So it was through Puro Pinche and my network and my relationships, and really just, you know, didn't have to go the traditional route of advertising because I had learned the world of social media and connecting with people so well. So it was really awesome to see, you know, like 3,000 people in La Vita, sold out event. And I mean, lines of people waiting at the door just to see if we could let any extra people in. You know, we were at capacity all night long. And that really showed me, you know, like the power of my platform and how it had grown into more than just, you know, an event calendar and a hobby.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like everything comes back to your social media platforms. I mean, with 25,000 Twitter followers, how did you build up to that, to 25,000 followers? I mean, obviously you had to start with one. Was there like a turning point where all of a sudden you got, you know, many thousands very fast, or how has that like changed over time?
I would say I've always, well, not always. So in the beginning, obviously, exactly, you know, you have to start with one follower. Definitely, to me, my biggest growth factor has been connecting with people in real life or the partnerships and friendships that I've had. So I went to every single event every night in San Antonio. I was going to every art opening, every local concert, big concert. I was meeting people that ran the events, promoted the events. I was, you know, buying tickets to go. I was eating at new restaurants, going to new bars, just really, really connecting with people. I worked for a local PR boutique that doesn't exist anymore, but called Red Collar Media. And we were connected into like this just kind of downtown, like, nightlife kind of growth movement of we were involved with Tucker's, and we did this Super Soul shakedown, like just really starting to use our platforms to promote bigger events that we were a part of organizing. Bumper was a huge turning point too. So everybody would follow each other. In every luncheon, there was a screen that showed everybody's Twitter handles, and we would share and follow and use hashtags to grow. And then I started getting invited to do like speaking engagements and be involved as a, you know, guest on local media. So I wrote, some freelance stuff for San Antonio Magazine. I've been on the morning shows. I spoke on a panel of Latina bloggers at South by Southwest and got invited to do that. And that really helped me to connect with people in person and online as well, you know, getting my name out there. It was kind of hard in the beginning because a lot of media would censor my name because of the pincha part of it. So it was like,
Wait, take a step back. Why do they... So maybe I just don't understand the meaning behind it. Why would they censor?
So, as I mentioned, pincha is a very slang term. Like it can mean a lot of things. When I was growing up, pincha meant it was like a person who was like tight with their money and just kind of, you know, like a shicey person.
Okay.
But now people kind of use it as an expletive. It's just so slang. Like, it has a ton of different ways you could use it. So I always use it as like a term of like excitement. So if you say "puro pincha Spurs," you know, like that can be like, "heck yeah, the Spurs," you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they lose, you can say "pincha Spurs," and then it's like, "damn Spurs," you know.
Yeah.
Like it just can be taken a lot of different ways, but. I think media outlets that had like these big corporate identities behind them would not understand that, especially putting a Spanish term on an English language broadcast. So they just kind of just instead of taking the time to learn it or understand it or even ask me, they would just censor it. So,
I see.
And then, you know, once I became a little more well known and respected for, you know, what I was doing, then those kind of came away. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I couldn't get published in the Express News as Puro Pincha, but then I found an example where the Hearst Companies was publishing Pincha on other, you know, national media outlets that they had, and so they kind of turned the page there. They couldn't ignore it anymore, you know. Like I had outgrown my social media presence of these outlets, you know. So it was, you know, like they couldn't just not talk about me
because it became a household name, basically.
Yeah, it's funny to say that, but like, you know, it, whenever people are like "Puro Pincha," I've heard that before, and then I'm like, well, that's me, that's my website, or that's my social media. And they're like, "Oh yeah, I've seen you online," or "I've, you know, heard about you from a friend," or, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. So it is more accepted now. But it was hard in the beginning to get that name out there. And why I originally chose that name was because a girlfriend of mine who would always go to the bumpers with us, we met through Twitter. She started the Puro San Antonio social media handle. So, you know, we took these terms that have been used in San Antonio for years in local Latino culture and just kind of did exactly what we, you know, we saw everybody else doing, which was marketing them. So Puro San Antonio and Puro Pincha started around the same time. And it was just kind of hand in hand. She would post about things that were kind of like the cliches, you know, like wearing chanclas to Nyosa, or stacking your Nyosa cups, or cheering on the Spurs downtown, like going honking. Like she was talking about that stuff. And Puro Pincha was like the fill in the blank, you know, Puro Pincha concert or Puro Pincha party, or, you know, things like that. So we kind of worked in hand to build each other's networks.
Interesting. So the biggest takeaway that I got from your whole story of starting was that you started everything. It was just a passion. You just wanted to get events out in San Antonio to show people, hey, there's tons of events that you can attend. I'm going to show you all the events that you can attend for free through my social media channels. And you build up your social media. And then the most important thing about that, once you wanted to get the word out even more, was that you went out to all the events in person. And I think it would have been almost impossible to get your name out if you didn't attend all those events in person. It sounds like that's what was a huge turning point for you, was just going to all the events, talking to people, even though for a lot of people, it just doesn't seem doable to attend all these events. But it sounds like that's what you need to do to develop a brand like this. And you did an awesome job doing it. And so I'm just curious to know, you know, as you've grown your brand and met with so many people at different events, and now people are coming to you for advertising and to market their events. How can you get an example of how you earn revenue for marketing an event, or how Pura Pinche earns revenues?
A lot of it is through social media advertising, now through influencer marketing, and then also from my event consulting and production work. Okay. So it's kind of all three of those things. I do feel like social media advertising is a little bit harder now than when I first started, because when it was new, it wasn't as regulated. And so now obviously everybody knows about the algorithms of social media and how you have to pay to play. Mm-hmm. And just what you can see in timelines, it makes it a lot more difficult to actually have small businesses turn around and use that properly. Mm-hmm. It's obviously can be done. It's just more difficult. And then even influencer marketing, when I first started, you know, I was one of the only people in San Antonio really doing what I was doing. So I would get invited to things, and I would, it took me a while to understand that I need to have rates to charge, and I needed to have a media kit and things like that. And then once mm-hmm. I did, it was great. I got going, and I've had really great partners that have worked with me and advertised with me. But now it's like everybody's an influencer. So I know it's harder for brands and companies to distinguish who they should really invest their money in. And I've been fortunate, like I said, to have been one of the earlier people to do that. So people still, you know, trust me and take value in what I do, but it is harder because there's so many people that are social media influencers or on digital marketers or advertisers or things like that. So that's also where I think my event planning experience comes in, because a lot of people are either event planners or social media marketers and not really doing the two. So I can kind of put them hand in hand, and a lot of the social media marketing that I do is event based. So, you know, being able to go out and promote events on social media while I'm there or beforehand. And you know, I think people have learned from that model as I've been doing it, and, you know, other people that were doing it before me. There still weren't that many, but those are the three main things: the social media advertising, the influencer marketing, and event production and promotions.
And so with the third one, event productions and promotions, that also includes consulting?
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. So out of the three, I'm curious about the influencer one. If someone says, I want to do influencer marketing, how would that work?
I always tell people, first, you have to have a network you're influencing. So, it's kind of weird to me. You know, like, I want to help people. I want to give advice. I was in that position once. You know, I could take all the help I could get every step of the way. But mm-hmm. If people kind of jump on and just think like, oh, well, if I do this, then somebody will notice me and they'll pay me to promote their product or their event or put together an influencer event. And really, you just have to have quality content, you know, so you mm-hmm. have to have whatever you're putting out has to be real and has to be quality. And if it's not real, if it's not legit, it doesn't last. And it's really easy to see through that. So you could have tons of followers and not be putting out quality content, and that's not going to last. You know, you can only lead people to believe that you are an actual influencer for so long. And, you know, maybe they'll work with you one time, but it's not going to be something being consistent. So I always advise people to consistently put out quality content and then actually build your network with people that are interested in the content that you're putting out. So, you know, a lot of people just want to say they're an influencer, but they don't have a niche or like a something that they're actually talking about that they're influencing. So, you know, Puro Pincha has been about the local Puro culture, you know, and so in the beginning, of course, I was like excited, like, oh, this brand's reaching out to me and this brand's reaching out to me. But there were a lot of things that just didn't make sense. And, you know, my fans showed that in reactions. And so I scaled back and stuck to what was in line with my brand, and then put out content that reflected that. And I like to really put out original content. So instead of like sharing somebody else's photo or somebody else's post or things like that, I like to keep it to me because that's what my brand is based on. And so I really feel like if people just stay true to their brand instead of trying to do it all, that'll give them a better chance of actually becoming an influencer and getting noticed by brands that will want to pay them or work with them.
Mm-hmm. So you've talked about developing a niche and how important it is to provide quality content. It sounds like it's a lot more important to provide quality content to 5,000 followers as opposed to poor quality content to 50,000 followers. And wanted to just get your general opinion on where you see event planning or the advertising businesses such as Puro Pinche headed over the next 5 years.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's been some transitions. You know, people don't want to just go to an event anymore. They want to have experiences. They want their experiences to be tied into social media. They want to connect with people on a bigger scale online. And they only want to see brands or businesses that understand that they need to be concerned for their experience, not just their click and their dollars. So I am not really sure how much it's going to change. It's hard because, you know, there's people that you follow online, you know, that are big names like Gary Vee and, just, you know, people that have all this business advice, but to me, it's not, it can be taken and implemented into whatever you're doing, but it's a little bit trickier, I feel like, for me to understand event planning, and advertising through events and things like that. But I mean, everything has gone, as the marketing term has come up, experiential, you know, so experiential really just means that like people want an experience and they don't want a big name, you know, or a big brand like thrown in their face, you know, they just want to have a good time and have this like seamless feel, in knowing brand is there, but not having it shoved down their throat. So people are going that route. And I feel like it really is just becoming all about being there, experiencing it, and then being able to share your experience on social media, but not be forced to. So it's just tricky. I'm not really sure where things are going to turn. I feel like we are at this turning point of people don't want to attend a lot of bigger events or festivals or things like that because they're so overwhelmed with people just want to be seen on social media. You know, it's not necessarily about being there. Mm-hmm. And that people are kind of going backwards in the type of events that they go to because they just want to go and have a good time and truly experience it. You know, I think that's kind of what happened with like South by Southwest. You know, it became so brand and advertiser heavy that people didn't want to go and be a part of that organic thing anymore. So South by Southwest is trying to get back to their goal of what they used to be, which is sharing information, discovering new musicians and technology and things like that, instead of having these big sponsors that are putting on these events. And obviously, mm-hmm. You have to have money, you have to have budgets to fund these events and to advertise out there, but people really just want to get back to like the core of having a good time and or experiencing something as they would. And I think that's why Puro Pincha has done so well, is because, and I didn't intend it to be about me, but it has been me. So people trust me, Stephanie, you know, on Puro Pinche. They trust me to tell them where the next event is, and what they should where they should go eat or drink, or what like organizations they should support, or causes or things like that, because it's a person. So people really want to relate things back to somebody or someone that something or someone that they trust, instead of trying to filter through a million different, you know, websites and brand names and articles and things like that. They just want to hear it from somebody they know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you said about just trusting you and enhancing the experience is a valuable insight. So yeah, lots of great predictions you have there with enhancing the experience and how it correlates to big brands and small brands, and how people sometimes want their experience to be closely tied with social media, and sometimes they don't want it so closely tied with social media. So want to ask you a few more quick questions, but want to take a quick break, Stephanie, before we begin our high impact short response questions. Hey guys, if you'd like to stay up to date with what's going on with the podcast, you can check out our Facebook page at TE Mindset. Again, our Facebook page can be found at TE Mindset. All right, we're back for our high impact short response questions. What is one hobby that you have outside of your work at Puerto Pinche?
I don't know if there's time outside of Puerto Pinche, but
no hobbies.
It's so hard to have a hobby. Is travel a hobby? I'm trying to travel more. So
yeah, traveling is absolutely a hobby.
Yeah, I'm trying to travel more, and I think travel has been like one of the biggest factors in me differentiating Puerto Pinche from other just like local event guides and things like that, because I always go to another city with the eyes of what I would want to see, you know, what I would want in someone to tell me about the city, about the authentic parts of the city, and then I take that knowledge back. But I'm really love exploring other cities now and just discovering what they have to offer and trying to get out and do it more often.
What is one health or nutrition hack you do to help you be more productive at work?
That is not something I have mastered. it is very hard to be on the go all the time.
Just one thing that helps you.
Man, putting my phone away.
Okay, that like makes sense.
The mental health breaks, putting my phone away, taking a break, walking outside, you know, and just really just getting away, disconnecting for a little while, and it helps you just kind of restart and refresh and get back into the work mode, and you know, breathing air outside, walking around. I think that's probably the best thing I can do right now.
What is your number one strength that helps you succeed in your everyday business interactions?
I would definitely say always, it's so cliche, but just treating people how I would want to be treated. So remembering that things are a business, but also being professional and kind with people, because I never want to piss someone off or have anything said bad about me, because my social platforms are so public and they're always people facing, is really just keeping things professional, but being friendly and kind while I'm doing that.
What is your top tip for increasing business profitability?
I feel like I need someone to teach me that right now, but I think it's really always learning, finding a company that you are similar to, and learning how they run their business. If they're more successful than you, maybe reaching out to somebody at the business, learning more in depth of what they're doing, and then trying to bring your business up to date to go the same route, you know, for profitability. Like I said, it's been tough with Puerto Pinche because it's ever changing, and just figuring out what I'm ultimately going to be, you know, with the website and social media. But if I didn't have anybody else to learn from, I think I would have just stayed a Tumblr blog forever.
If you could recommend one resource under $20 to help listeners learn more about creating a social media related business, what would you recommend?
I think there are so many free resources out there. But I mean, yeah, I can't say that there's something that I pay for right now on a subscription basis or anything that's under $20. I mean, or even over $20. Yeah, it's really just going online and learning from other, figure out what route you are going in and find those people or businesses that are doing what you want, would like to do, and following them closely and learning how they would do it, or finding people that are online giving free to, like, I love Gary Vee, you know, like, he's a great guy to follow, and he mm-hmm. gives you free information every single day. But if that, you know, find exactly what your niche is and just keep following people on every outlet that they have, subscribe to newsletters, check out their website, go on their social media, interact with them, and really just get online and connect with people to help you grow.
Last question. What does an entrepreneurial mindset mean to you?
You know, it took me a long time to learn that I was an entrepreneur, and I think that people don't really teach that in school, you know, whether it's grade school or college. And I think if you have a passion to always, you know, you have a new idea that you think would benefit people, or you have a new business, you know, that you want to share with the world, and you're constantly doing that, you're always like, wow, this could be a great thing, you know, or this could really help people. I feel like that's the entrepreneurial mindset, you know, like always trying to learn, like you're not satisfied with just doing the same thing over and over again every day, which there's nothing wrong with. But if you're always on the go about what's next, what's the next big thing, what can I do to change the world? I feel like that's really the entrepreneurial mindset. And I've learned a lot, and I've worked, you know, stints, and my resume is kind of got these employers and projects all over it. And it took me a while, you know, through being like a Geekdom member and just working with the workery, other people that are entrepreneurs, to understand that I am an entrepreneur. But I think once you understand that you are an entrepreneur, like you live the mindset, you know, that's all you can see is being an entrepreneur.
Well, awesome, Stephanie. Very, very cool insight on that. How can listeners learn more about Pure Pinche or connect with you?
Follow me on social media, whatever your favorite platform is. Just type in Puro Pinche with the E on the end. If you're not familiar with the word pincha, you'll find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or my website is PuroPinche.com.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for joining me today, Stephanie, and hope you come on again sometime.
Yeah, you know, when you first reached out to me, it was exactly what we've talked about. You know, like, we met each other briefly in person, and now we've connected, you know, online and through the podcast. And I really appreciate you having me on as a guest. I'm excited to hear it and share it with people. And I've listened to the previous episodes, so keep up the great work, Jake. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephanie. Hey, guys, I hope you enjoyed my interview with Stephanie Guerra. If you'd like to stay up to date with what's going on with the podcast, again, you can check out our Facebook page at TE Mindset. You're also more than welcome to email me with any comments, feedback, suggestions at jake@teemindset.com. Again, that's jake@teemindset.com.